This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We're live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Mesquite. And right now we bring to you our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How's it going?
Now, yesterday, I don't know if
we're
you
doing
recall,
good, Mickey, to answer your question.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
That's my apologies.
His kid's here. He's a little distracted.
He just couldn't get to me soon enough, right?
He was excited. Yeah.
That is fair enough. Well, I was, like, kind of dreading it, but sort of happy for you. Did you predict the Giants 23-20 yesterday?
I did.
Okay. When it was 20-15, I was like, I'm going to be sad if we lose this game, but I'm also going to be like bizarrely happy if Mickey gets the score exactly right.
I was right on that, right? Till the Cowboys unpredictably got that last stop.
Yeah,
oh my gosh.
You really were. Now, we got, I don't know if it's a positive update because we're still like waiting for more medical information.
Yeah.
But it seems like not the worst case scenario for Micah Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence. But what makes me nervous there is even if it was just to get an IV, Trayvon Diggs left the game. Deron Bland is still out. Kalen Carson missed the game. Like, it feels like there's only so many positions where you can lose people until you're like, well, I got to throw something out there, I guess.
And that's why. And you mentioned the two defensive ends. We'll throw Sam Williams in there, too. So
fair.
They were without their top three prospective defensive ends to start the season. They're without, three of their top four cornerbacks to start the season. And they won. So I know it wasn't very stylistic 20-15, but thinking about all that and what took place the previous 2 weeks and last week, that was a hell of a win. And don't diminish it by saying, well, that was the Giants, because no one last week was saying, well, that's just the Giants.
Oh,
the
man,
Cowboys were what, 5.5-point favorites? They won by five.
Correct. Which made that field goal so good.
I bet some people had some choice words, right? The guy that's perfect wasn't perfect and cost them money.
Oh, my gosh. Mickey, you'd be amazed at, like, I know.
How much did Aubrey have on this game?
Yeah, I know social media can get weird. I saw so many people talking about how the NFL was rigged last night because he missed that field goal to cover the point spread. It was very bizarre.
Was it rigged that they called the Cowboys for, what, 15 penalties or whatever the heck it was?
And that didn't even count the one they should have called on them that they were like, you know what, that was on the Giants. Don't worry about it, face mask.
Well, and here's the one that kind of got to me. They called the defensive end offsides, right?
Yeah.
He had a two-step start on Tyler Guyton. And then he's the one that gets held. Well, he got held for a reason. He was cheating. So why do you penalize the other guy for what the other guy initiated, right?
Sure.
I didn't understand that. I understand you got to call it because it's a free play, right? But the reasoning behind it doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, Micah also gets hurt because he gets rolled up on because he was being held. That was frustrating.
Yeah.
For sure, not calling that one.
That should have been a personal foul, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely, man.
But anyway, just the fact that they won the game, a division game, and on the road. I know you want more of the offense. They want more out of the offense. But from a defensive standpoint, that was quite a turnaround. You know what they averaged running the ball?
The Giants, I do.
1.1 yards a carry.
Yes, that's the sixth lowest in Cowboys franchise history for the defense,
I can't
buddy.
Imagine there was been lower. And I think I saw the lowest was like 0.58 or something like that.
Wow.
I didn't know that. How did you feel about the corners opposite of Diggs last night?
Well, I didn't like the fact that when they started off the game that they put Booth on Neighbors. I was like, well, this is a disaster waiting to happen, and it did. So, Owarie,
yeah,
did it. I think that they saw what happened in the first half. The guy couldn't stand up. He kept falling. And they pulled him and brought in a guy off the practice squad that hadn't played a snap all year and did a decent job. And, you know, he's a fifth-year veteran, and he's played well previously other places. So I'm guarantee you that's probably the way they'll go next week, because I can't imagine Bland's going to be ready to go.
Have you ever said to put a guy who's essentially playing his rookie season to just go ahead and put a gold jacket on him like I am with Overshown right now?
He was pretty good, wasn't he?
Yeah, and Kevin, I think that's all Kevin was watching last night, because he's
well, you know what? And Leofau wasn't all that bad himself. And to me, that was two rookie linebackers out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what, I don't know if it's a lesson, and we'll find out over the next 2 weeks, but sometimes young guys can improve as they, you know, get more snaps and get more experience. I thought Mazi did a heck of a job, right?
I would agree with that. I thought yesterday
I saw him jump out a couple times.
Was easily his best game. Now, I'm not
absolutely
saying, like, statistically or anything. I'm just saying, watching the game, that was his best game.
You realize now it's back-to-back games with three tackles in each game.
I'll take it, because I like this game better than last week's game from him, for sure.
Absolutely, and he held down, you know, held down the line of scrimmage, and that allowed those linebackers to make the plays they, you know, they ended up making. What did Kendricks end up with? 11 tackles in the game. Overshown had 9. So that means that they were keeping those guys clean to be able to stop the run. And, you know, the majority of times when Daniel Jones was throwing, he was running. You know, he had to get out of the pocket because of the pressure up the middle. So, yeah, not a bad job. And then offensively, we barely heard Dexter Lawrence's name, didn't we?
Yeah, that's for sure.
I did think that was impressive.
With BB right in there in his face, too.
And, you know, and I'm sure they double-teamed him some, and they should have, right?
Yes.
Don't let that kid out there with this 6'4", 340 guy right on his nose. But they kind of held him at bay. And, you know, for whatever Guyton did or didn't do, the kid keeps battling. He doesn't, you know, just, you know, tuck tail and, you know, go hide somewhere. And a couple of those, I know they're holds, but he's, you know what he's got to learn? He's got to learn what Tyler Smith finally learned, that when you block the guy and stun him, okay, that's it. You don't have to bury him in the ground, because once the guy turns his back and you push him to the ground and fall on top and pancake him, they're going to call you for holding.
That is exactly the same thing I used to think about Tyron Smith. Whenever we get holding calls, it's because it felt like he physically overwhelmed someone to the ground. And I'm like, is that really holding? But you're right. They call that every time.
And,
so
and
I
he
think
got
you're
called
on to
for
something.
It twice. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was on top of the guy. Well, that's not his fault. You know, stand up. Be a man. So
also stop throwing your hands up in the air too, because that's a pretty clear signal that you did it.
So so anyway, you know, they didn't score the points you wanted offensively. I thought Dak played awfully well. CD got back in rhythm. Hunter Lipke continues to shine. A guy that he accounted for 3 first downs, either running or catching a pass, and with his effort on third and whatever, getting the first down. So I thought that was good. And, you know, for the most part, they did a good job of keeping Dak clean in the pocket, which was an improvement, and that was supposed to be the Giants' calling card, their ability to put pressure on quarterbacks. Everybody made such a big deal of the 8 sacks against the Browns. Well, the Cowboys had 6, so that one might be the Browns. But I just don't think after the build-up to this game for, you know, everybody to go, well, that was the Giants. Well, okay, but everybody was worried about them, and especially on the road in the division game.
Do you think what makes Brandon Aubrey great is the fact that he's probably crushing himself today for the field goal he missed as opposed to making another 60-yard field goal.
Yeah, and I'm sure it bothers him because he seems to be a perfectionist. And he didn't miss it by much. He kind of hit it straight, and it stayed straight, unfortunately for him. But I thought Dak made a good comment after the game. He said, you know, we got to score touchdowns. We can't keep putting all the pressure on him to be perfect because none of us are perfect. And I thought that was a good comment because, they scored two touchdowns. But you got to score. You can't keep kicking field goals.
And the thing about that is, Mick, I don't know if you feel this way at all. It's not just the field goals. It's the distance of the field goals. And I don't mean because it's hard for Brandon Aubrey to kick. I mean because you're so far away from the end zone. Like, you're
well,
kicking
then you get in the 20, and then you get a couple penalties, and you're back at the 50.
Yeah.
And you're like, what happened?
And so that's what I get. That's what I'm concerned about is we're not really firing off, like, 30, 35-yard field goals. Most of these are, like, pretty lengthy.
Well, they almost had that 70-yarder set up, didn't they?
Man, I was here for it.
Before
I
the,
really was.
Because what happened? Dak got sacked, right? And it was unreasonable. But, yeah, and look, that was I don't know if anybody mentioned it in pregame show, but that was tough conditions to kick in because when they were warming up, I mean, I looked at my phone, the humidity was in the 90%. And it ended up 88 at kickoff. So the air was pretty darn thick. And it didn't look like the ball was carrying. And it also, I was watching the warm-ups, the ball was pretty slippery just from the humidity and the sweat, right? So I thought it was amazing that I only saw one guy go in for, you know, an IV for being dehydrated, Diggs, right? I figured you better line them up because they're coming. It was tough conditions to kick in. Now, for a change, there wasn't a lot of wind in that stadium, but the humidity was really, really thick.
Appreciate it very much, good sir. We will catch up with you again on Monday.
Yep, we'll start a new week. See ya.